ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Auctionable Offense Podcast. I'm your host this morning, Charlie Parker. You can find me on Twitter on CoolHandCP3. Joined as always with my good-looking co-host, Bonner Fett. Zach, what's going on, my man?
Hey, man, I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. It's a nice sunny Sunday morning here, Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all the wonderful mothers out there. I'm going to see mine shortly.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day. I saw mine last night. Pretty much my entire family was able to get together, which is pretty rare. We had all the siblings except for one brother, but he had some work stuff he couldn't get out of, so it was really cool to get together.
Yeah, that's always important, is to get the family together and appreciate each other. It's not where you are, it's who you're with. It's important.
I agree.
So let's start this episode off. We're going to do just a couple different random topics. We're going to start off with a little bit of league news and notes. There's nothing too much here right now. Probably the number one thing is CJ Anderson going to Carolina. I think this is a good thing all the way around. Good for CJ Anderson. He's a good underrated back. And it's good for Christian McCaffrey. He's a great talent, but you want someone there that's reliable and can take some of the workload off.
Yeah, I think CJ Anderson is going to get a small piece of this pie. Maybe 40 to 60% of the carries. Now, I know that's actually a pretty big range. Let's narrow that down. That's a bit of a bet hedger there. I think we're going to see, fantasy point-wise, McCaffrey's still going to kind of be the guy there. It doesn't lower his value at all. CJ Anderson, I think, is going to be like a bi-week running back two or flex. I wouldn't be looking for too much. Goal line, I don't think CJ Anderson's going to get a ton. I think maybe we look at the end of the year and he's at 5 to 10 carries goal line, so he's not even really going to be stealing these short yardage touchdowns, if you ask me. It's still going to be hitting those receivers in the corner of the end zone and Cam running the ball. We'll see McCaffrey get a little bit in space there as well, but yeah. CJ Anderson, good NFL move. I don't think it's going to be huge for fantasy, but if you have a CJ Anderson share, you got to be happy about this move.
Yeah, I got a few shares of him because he's always been cheap, and I'm happy to see it. Luckily, I have some Christian McCaffrey shares too. I think CJ Anderson at best will be a flex play, but it'll be game script dependent. So,
agreed.
If Carolina's got a really nice matchup, you can tell that they've got a good matchup that week. There's probably a good opportunity that CJ Anderson might get some garbage time at the end of the game. They're going to put him in, pound away, run out the clock. You're not going to use Christian McCaffrey for that. So if you see an opportunity where they've got a good game script, he might work as a flex play. But other than that, he's more just some protection.
Yeah, definitely a better landing spot than some of the other likely options were. Miami was a possibility. I don't think that would have been good. I think Baltimore... I didn't hear their name at all in the talks of where he might go, at least not that I can recall, but I think Baltimore might have been a better spot. But this is, you know, good for your Alex Collins shares too. So overall, solid for him. Not going to be huge for fantasy, but it's decent. I like it.
What is Baltimore doing at running back? Like, is it really going to be the Alex Collins, Javoris Allen show? Really? There's who else? What are they going to do?
I think so. And then is Lorenzo Talaferro still there? I mean, his name's kind of been gone for the last couple of years. I don't think he's under contract there anymore. So, yeah, you know, Alex and Buck, what the fuck?
I mean, that could make... I truly own no Alex Collins shares, which that might be a bad thing. He might be a really sneaky play this year. If there's nobody else there... The offense isn't great, and I mean, I don't expect necessarily RB1 numbers on the regular, but he might have some sneaky weeks and finish as a high-end RB2. So
yeah,
maybe I should go send out some trades for that guy.
Yeah, wouldn't be a bad idea. I do think he's probably going to be too expensive in startups for my taste. And in redraft, not that I really play any of redraft except for the SFB, but... that's going to be, he's probably going to be too expensive there too, but could be a game changer. I don't know. Good for Alex Collins. He's getting a shot, it looks like.
Well, he kind of goes with CJ Anderson, and they're the type of names that might be good targets for you during your rookie draft. So say you're sitting there on the clock at 210, and guy says, hey, you know, what do you want for this pick? I want to move up. You say, oh, Well, you got Alex Collins. How about Alex Collins? He doesn't seem very attractive right now. He's kind of flying under the radar. It seems kind of meh. Somebody's got some rookie fever. They want to grab whatever shiny piece is sitting there. You might be able to pull Alex Collins. Now, the flip side to that coin is you're sitting there. You want the 210. And you see that the guy's got Christian McCaffrey. You're sitting on C.J. Anderson. You probably aren't going to play C.J. Anderson on the weekly. So go ahead, sell him for the 210 or a mid-second, whatever it is, and get your guy, whether it's the new running back or a receiver you want or Josh Rosen in a 1QB league that you might be able to flip for a late first next year if he blows up like Watson, something like that.
Yeah, I agree.
All right, so I don't think there was really anything else for player notes. Nobody's, not much for moving and shaking. Mark Ingram got suspended. There's been plenty of ink about that. So, you know all you need to know there right now.
Yeah, I think the Mark Ingram, Alvin Kamara situation is now full on in the Devontae Freeman, Tevin Coleman kind of thing. But yeah, Ingram is definitely second fiddle. He's talented and will put up fantasy points if he can get back on the field after the suspension. But Kamara's the guy there, so
yeah,
not a lot to go on with this.
Kamara's a beast, and if you have him, some people are saying, "Oh, sell." Well, why would you? What's the point? Basically,
right.
You've got that young running back that you know is going to put up points. So, what can you improve on that capital right now?
Yeah, you know, Ingram's value is nothing now compared to what it was. So, this is the wrong time to sell.
Yeah, it's a shame. I've got a lot of Ingram shares, and he's going to be a hard hold now for a long time because probably this ends his tenure with the Saints. It seemed like he was always in Peyton's doghouse for one reason or another. They just didn't sort of jive, and this isn't going to help the situation. So They love Kamara. They've got a couple more pieces. So you could see them basically cutting Ingram, and he's going to have to find another team, and he's not getting any younger. You know, is this the beginning of the end for him? I hope not, but it could be.
Yeah, you could see him stick around a little bit like how Gore has and, you know, just be the old guy on the team. But, yeah, if you've got Ingram, your best bet is just to hang on to him.
Yeah, don't sell now. There's no point. Well, in my opinion, some people feel get off before the bottom falls all the way out. If you're a believer in that, well, maybe the time is to sell now. Me personally, I feel you don't sell on these immediate dips in value. It's only a 4-game suspension at this point. So wait it out. Wait till he comes back. Wait till the value rebounds a little bit. And then maybe decide if you want to move on. Maybe you can pull a 19 first to a guy contending. Something like that. And turn that into some new equity that you can build off of.
Yeah, his first game back, I believe, so I think they have a week 6 bye. Might want to fact check that, but I think it's a week 6 bye, so I think week 5 is going to be the first opportunity to sell. See what he does. If he comes out, performs well, and you really want to get out from under him, you could sell him over the bye week, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty much. So that's more or less news and notes. I don't think there's anything else that needs much attention. So now we're going to transition into a little bit of rookie auction talk. And we're going to talk about the Pigs 3 League that we're just wrapping up. It's trailing off today. But we want to start off by kind of prefacing. First off, there's a great guy on Twitter, Mark in Michigan, who did our fantastic new Avi that looks amazing. He made a very good point. He's done a lot of work over the last couple of years designing leagues for people. So he's seen the trends. He's seen what kind of leagues people are going with. And he mentioned on Twitter that the last few years has been very super flex dominant, a lot of rise in that sort of genres. And he mentioned that over the last year or two, it's become a rise in multi-copy leagues, call it what you will, where you've got multiple copies of the players and different leagues all tied in together. That's what a Pigs League is. It's, what, 4 14-man leagues, essentially?
Yep.
Tied in together. I think the Kitchen Sinks are similar. I'm in another one called the Premier League that's very similar. So it's becoming a growing trend. So when you hear us mention the Pigs League on these podcasts, all you need to think about is your multi-copy leagues. everything we're talking about, all the strategy, all the ideas, you can transition that to your multi-copy leagues that you play in. You don't have to be in a Pigs or something like that. Don't feel that way. You can transition the advice and the ideas to your multi-copy leagues.
Yep. Yeah. We know that nobody cares about the leagues that we're in. At least not to the point where they'd want to like listen to a podcast about it. So yeah, just if we mention a league that we're in by name, you know, just adjust it to your league name. It's similar stuff for across the format.
Yeah. Wasn't it a Bon Jovi song that said something about only the names have changed? Is that Dead or Alive? I don't know. Something like that.
Maybe. I don't know.
So, in the, we just did the wrapping up the Pigs 3 auction, and it was wild and crazy, as you'd expect. Start to finish, there was action and red lines every day, every hour. That's going to happen. But there were some good values. How do you feel you came out?
I'm actually pretty happy overall. I would have liked a couple things to have gone a little bit differently, but overall, I think I really added to my roster. I know we talked about before how, at least, how I felt like if I was able to make one or two different moves after the startup, before the rookie auction, that I would have felt really good about my team. And those moves weren't able to be made, so I kind of had to go with what I had. Tried my darndest to make some trades during it. Couldn't get it done. I was trying to move Matt Ryan for a little bit. Couldn't get anyone to bite. He got his big contract extension, and that kind of made me more aware of how much I actually do love Matt Ryan, so I stopped trying to trade him. I was trying to trade Case Keenum for a while after the draft when it was solidified that he was the guy. Couldn't get anyone to bite, so I went in with $357, which I think out of the 56 teams put me right around the middle. So I was kind of, I had to pick my spots, but I came away with, I guess we'll just go over my shares. I came away with a share of Josh Allen, who, I tweeted out that my nickname for him is going to be Popeye because he's got the biggest arm in the league. I actually really like that. It's trademarked, so don't steal it. I got a copy of Ronald Jones, Royce Freeman, and then for some cheap receivers, I got DJ Chark and Trey Quinn for near minimum. So I'm happy with it. I've got a couple dollar bids up right now that I won't bid up if anybody comes at them. But yeah, I'm overall pretty happy. I improved my team. Running back was my biggest weakness, and Ronald Jones should be, probably 50 to 60% of the running back touches this year. Royce Freeman is going to have to fight for it in camp, but I think ultimately he's going to overtake Devontae Booker. So I have two, you know, roughly three down backs coming. Well, Freeman's probably not going to get three down backward, but you know, I got for second tier running backs, I got two of my favorites. Charlie, how'd yours go?
Yeah, it was in a similar boat. I went in with $395, so that was, like you said, right around middle of the pack, maybe the higher end of the middle, but still middle of the pack. I wasn't able to make many moves in between the startup and the rookie auction for a few reasons. I wasn't interested in selling my future rookie picks. I want to hold those, and I'm not looking to mortgage the future. So I didn't have any plays that way, and I've also built my team for to kind of start competing right away. So I was interested in buying players, not picks, and I wasn't really interested in selling my players either. So I didn't have a lot of moves to make, which is okay, because I'm happy with my path. So I went into the auction with a middle-of-the-pack amount of money, and I had a game plan that I was going to come out with at least two running backs that I wanted and something from there. Initially, after the startup, I thought maybe I would go for a tight end, since I went fairly light streaming tight end in the startup, but I don't like any of these rookies enough. And in typical fashion, the prices went to a place that I wasn't going to pay. So I bypassed on the tight ends. As I mentioned in the last pod as well, I'm not interested in paying for them. So I focused on the running backs. And as we've talked of before, I had my plan. I learned from the startup. I was going to go hard to the hole for the guys I wanted. I wasn't going to be pushed off. If I got redlined a couple times, that's fine. I was just going to hold true and pull my guys home. And luckily, I was able to do that. I came away with Chubb. I got Nick Chubb for, I think, the cheapest copy, or tied for the cheapest copy.
Yeah, that's accurate.
Yeah, I paid $200. And they were all right around that same price. There was nothing too egregious, but I got...
Yeah, two went for $202 and two went for $200. So, yeah, you're right there.
Yeah, so I was happy with that. I was coming home with Chubb no matter what, and I did. And then I wanted one of either Ronald Jones or Royce Freeman. That was my game plan. I wasn't interested in Penny, Geis, or those guys. I wanted Rojo or Freeman for basically the same reasons you said. So I ended up getting, I think, the fourth copy of Rojo, and I think I paid the most. But like I said, I was coming home with them. I put my elbows up, and, you know, I paid, I think, $20 or $25 at least more than your copy. So, I mean, you know, in hindsight, that could have got me a James Washington, you know. And so I did miss on getting an earlier copy, and I had to pay for it. But I still came home with the guy I wanted. And like I mentioned, 6 months from now, I'm not going to care about that $25. I'm going to care that I got my guy. And then I filled in with two real cheap options. I got Akram Wadley for $2. And he's just a little insurance behind my Derrick Henry share. Nothing much there. And I also pulled in a Mark Walton share for $5, which to me is fine. I think they all went for about that kind of price.
Yeah, you got lowest price.
Yeah, and that's to back up my Joe Mixon share. You know, kind of a hedging the bet. Maybe he pushes Geo out the door or something. So they were cheap plays that have the chance to be something. And if I want to move, I've actually got some interest in Mixon, but we couldn't quite come to a deal. But that owner might come back to me and I can say, okay, well, I'll throw in Walton as well. You never know. It might sweeten the deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually was hoping to get a Mike Gesicki copy in this. So I actually have a spreadsheet with all of the prices that everybody went for each copy. It's actually only my targets, so there are some players missing. But Gesicki went for 60, 60, 55, and 61. And so basically those values are... right in line with, oh, this is Superflex, so the cheapest Josh Allen shares. Running backs were all either way higher or way lower. Let me see. It's approximately the average value for DJ Moore or Christian Kirk, and so I couldn't get to that level. One thing that I really wanted was I wanted, like, I didn't think I was going to be able to afford a copy of Calvin Ridley or DJ Moore. Initially, the prices were a lot lower than I thought, but I really needed to get some running back help, and I actually have a solid group of receivers. I think DJ Moore or Ridley would have started off as, like, my wide receiver sixes, maybe fives, so they just weren't as important. But if I would have, instead of going with Ronald Jones, gone after Kerryon Johnson, I could have saved, you know, 23-ish bucks, which could have gotten me a Michael Gallup or a Dante Pettis or an Anthony Miller, which I really would have liked. However, I like Ronald Jones a heck of a lot more than Kerryon Johnson. So in hindsight, I'm happy with what I did. And these rosters aren't the biggest of all time either. So yeah, I'm happy with it overall. Can you hear my dogs barking outside?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. I could see your face and I was like, yeah, loud dogs.
Yeah. So the trade that I was working on that I was going back and forth with another owner, he was quite interested, I'm sure he still is, in Joe Mixon. And before the rookie auction, I probably could have sold him for about $300. I bet he would have went for it. Because there was running backs going for big dollars, essentially. There was two Kareem Hunt deals where he went for, was it $120 plus a full, no, $240 plus a full draft class? So that turns into like $500 in value. So I wanted straight cash for Mixon. And I'm pretty
straight
sure,
cash, homie.
That's right. And I'm pretty sure I could have got $300 before the auction started. But once the auction started, the guy's price changed. He was willing to give me roughly what Geis was going for at the time. So about $200. He would have topped out at maybe $210 to $220. My bottom price was about $275. And the reason was at that point, $275 would have pulled me in two of it would have got me Rojo and, say, Carrion. Because at that time, they were going for about 140 and 125. This was when the second copies were still on the board. So I needed, in my head, I needed at least to pull it, be able to pull in those two guys to let go of Mixon. I needed the two birds in the hand for the one in the, or two birds in the bush for one. But because of where he saw the values going, he wasn't willing to essentially pay that price. He was willing to give Geis or Chubb plus a tiny bit. And I just wasn't willing to sell for that. I already had Chubb, so I, to get rid of a guy that I like, I needed to get two back. And I wasn't going to get that for 220. So we weren't able to get the deal done. And even actually, it was right around the time when Scott Fish made his trade and bought, Dalvin Cook for
Dalvin Cook.
$90 and a full draft class. So that turns into roughly $375 at a minimum.
Is that all it went for?
That's a minimum, right? That's minimum value picks. So, I said to the guy, hey, well, look, this trade just happened. And he said, yeah, I know, but I'm surprised it did.
Yeah, it was 120 in cash, but yeah, essentially the same.
Yeah. So I thought maybe that might turn him around and stuff and we could have got the deal. But then by that time as well, truthfully, a lot of the third and fourth copies were either on the board or were gone. It was a couple days later. So now I wasn't going to be able to get those same guys for that same price. So my price point had changed and we didn't get the deal done, but it was fun to talk about it for a while.
Yeah, I had some interest in my Ronald Jones copy as the last copy was on the board, who you ended up winning. And initially I was like, yeah, I would be interested in maybe moving him. And I just kind of looked at the board and thought, nah, I like what I've got. I'm going to hold fast. While I've got this spreadsheet pulled up with all the values, I want to look at a couple things that are interesting. Of course, Saquon Barkley went for huge amounts. So he went for 626, 625, 535, and 524. To put in perspective what that looks like, everybody's rookie stipend was 200. So these guys either traded for more or held over from the startup auction. So he's essentially three full drafts. For the same price, you could have gotten, since it's a super flex, a Baker Mayfield, or honestly, any quarterback of your choice. You could have gotten any quarterback of your choice, plus a Darius Geis and a Nick Chubb, or any other running back of your choice. Granted, if these guys bidding on Barkley wouldn't have bid on him, there would have been, you know, the extra $600 in, so these values would have changed a little bit. But I think it's... A lot of people talk about trade value for the 101 right now, where Barkley as a player. And so in Superflex, roughly...
102, the, 103, 104.
Yep.
Right?
Which is what everybody's been saying.
Yeah, that's basically and that's, what you just showed. You could have bought Baker Mayfield, who's a lot of people are going as, you know, the 102, if it's a Superflex draft, right? And then you got Chubb and Geis, who a lot of people have as number two and three running backs. Well, Chubb's kind of different for a lot of people now, but whatever. You're basically looking at the 101 equals the 2, the 3, and the 4 or 5.
Yeah, and actually we should probably also say this is a league with 0.25 points per carry. So running back value is elevated a little bit, which is why some of these receivers went for so cheap. You know, when a running back gets 15 carries a game, we'll say 16. That's an extra 4 points just for toting the rock. That's the same as, you know, a wide receiver 3 getting 4 catches for 0 yards. You know, it's points for just for volume. So it's kind of interesting to look at some of these things. If you are in a league with multiple copies, I do this for pretty much every league I'm in, just because I want to track where things are going and look at trends. But especially in multi-copy leagues, you can really see where the money's going and kind of some advantages that you can make just by keeping a little sheet with the prices that players go for.
Yeah, like we were talking about pre-recording, we noticed the trend that in the startup auction, the first two copies were cheaper, and the third and fourth, or pardon me, is that right? Is that what you're saying? The first two copies were cheaper in the startup, and then the third and fourth, no. In the startup,
yeah, copy one was expensive.
Yeah, copy one was expensive. The third copy was generally the cheapest, and the fourth was expensive. But in the rookie, it was the early copies that were cheapest.
With a lot of players, yeah.
The second and third for sure. But there was a couple instances where the first copy ended up being the cheapest. And the fourth was always generally crazy.
Yeah, just a few players. Rashad Penny, his first copy was the cheapest. Third copy is the same price, so that kind of still follows that trend. Kerryon Johnson, copy number one, was cheapest. Nyheim Hines, I think there were a few receivers that had crazy early value. Cortland Sutton, first one was the cheapest. His third copy actually got crazy. It went for 50% more. Wow. So it went from 46 to 79. Actually, that's greater than 50%. Yeah, so almost across the board, the third copy was the cheapest. The first copy was advantageous because you got to dictate what went on later. We were both, for the most part, pretty bullish about getting our guy as the second or third copy. I initially wanted to be on the first copy stuff as I saw players kind of being cheap. Some guys just, they got to their top bid within the first few hours. And by the time I kind of really sat back and thought, all right, first copy is who I want. Some of those guys came off the board already. So they went really quickly. But second and third copies were great values. Fourth copies got a little crazy. Barkley's fourth copy was the cheapest, but he also was gone. I think within 6 days, all four of his copies were gone. And you could only have one copy on the board at a time. So he was kind of the exception to the rule. But you look at guys like Darius Geis, you had to pay an extra 10% over the second copy with him if you waited. Charlie paid the most for Ronald Jones, but we were both going after him. So it was either we both paid a shit ton to get him or one of us sat back a little bit. And I just was fortunate enough to get that high bid on him quickly. Royce Freeman, 129 is what I got him for at copy two. He went for 216 for his final copy.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, you got to go out and get your guy, but this was one of those areas where I often sit back and I play patiently, but you couldn't do that in this because prices just got nuts.
Yeah. You came away with your guy, but you should see that as you paid for a lesson. You waited too long and it cost you. So learn that lesson and don't do it again.
Yeah, and as some trades went down, it also affected some of these guys' values because more money came into people's hands, so then there were some different bids. I think an interesting thing that I see here, Calvin Ridley, his max cost was 55, minimum was 44. So DJ Moore, Christian Kirk, and Cortland Sutton all had at least two copies go for more expensive than the most expensive Calvin Ridley. So that tells me that Ridley is potentially going to fall in some rookie drafts. He also might be cheaper to trade for than some of these other receivers. And with as crowded as this receiver position is this year, you know, with not a lot of guys falling into ideal situations, if you're looking for somebody cheap and you need a receiver, I think Ridley is probably the guy that I would be targeting right now. Unless you just need a guy that's going to be a wide receiver three or four type this year, then Gallup is the easy option, I think.
Yeah, I've done actually a couple rookie drafts as well. And Superflex to boot. And yeah, Ridley's falling to the late first, early second in a Superflex. Same with Chubb. I just did one where he went 109 and 110. It's a league that has two copies kind of thing, two sides. And, in both of those drafts, he went 109 and 110. And also one trend in both those drafts was Lamar Jackson went, high. He was the second quarterback off both boards, I believe, and went within the top five, I think.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. So there was, Superflex especially, you're going to see Ridley available late first, early second. Another trend is nobody wants to trade up. From what I've seen already in a couple drafts, everybody wants to try and trade back, but nobody really wants to trade up anymore. Not unless it's for Barkley, but nobody's really interested in trading to the 102, 103 range anymore. So keep that in mind a little bit. maybe plan ahead if you can. I was a little disappointed one draft. I sort of made a mistake and I traded up for the 103 and then realized I shouldn't have and would have been better off holding my 110. So be careful because I wasn't able to trade back even for anything and I regret it now, but you know, that's a lesson learned.
Yeah. Another thing that I have learned about this particular class from going through this auction, late second through third and fourth round guys, especially at receiver, early copies went for a lot more than the later ones. So, if you want to sneak in your kind of guys, I would wait until the expensive players are really getting tied up. Especially multi-copy leagues, let those first few copies get off the board so people have less money to play with. You're going to have a better chance of getting your guy for cheap. One of the Deshaun Hamilton copies went for 15. Another one went for 3. I mean, it's $12, so it's not like it's a lot of money, but if you look at, you know, percentage-wise, it's a 500% increase.
Yeah, that's big.
It's 400% increase, yeah.
One thing I've noticed in these snake drafts I've done, the rookie drafts I've done, is it gets pretty ugly in the mid-second. You know, once the Anthony Miller, Michael Gallups are gone, it thins out really quick. And you start to feel like they're all the same and they could all be taken later. Don't be afraid to trade your mid to late seconds this year. I actually was on the clock in the same one I was just mentioning, the two copy league, in the 211, and a guy wanted to trade up and or wanted the pick. So he gave me an offer that I wasn't interested in, but I came back to him with straight up for either his Golladay. Or, who did I get? The guy I like in Tampa Bay. Chris Godwin. Or another one. I just gave him 3 options straight up for the pick. And I ended up getting Chris Godwin for the 211.
I like it.
I'm loving that. And I even own Mike Evans on this team. And I don't generally like to have 2 weapons, but now I'll trade one of them away. But either way, Chris Godwin for the 211. And I don't even remember who he took. I could look back, but I'm happy with Godwin.
Yeah. I do think this is a good draft for, if you have multiple second round picks this year and you are trying to rebuild, there's a lot of quality wide receiver 3 and 4 types over the next few years in this draft with some guys that have potential to really be, I don't want to say stars, but guys that can be like fantasy wide receiver 2s. So, and the running back position, as we've all kind of seen it, and it makes sense. It dries up after the first round. But when guys like Ridley, Moore, Kirk, Gallup, Sutton, Pettis, Miller, Washington, I mean, all these guys are essentially second round players, some of them even third. So it's a good spot that if you're really trying to reload and take some dart throws, it's a good year for that. The top of the draft is a little cluttered and ugly outside of Barkley. You basically have a tier of, like, depending on how you look at players, 5 to, or let's see, after 1, there's anywhere from 5 to 9, 10 players that you can all kind of fit into the same tier. So,
and that's why nobody wants to trade up.
Yeah,
because they don't want to pay for a tier of guys. They're going to get one of them, and unless you get a real homer that, you know, really wants the Rashad Penny or really wants the Rojo, they're going to take whoever's there more or less. And that's why people aren't paying up now.
Yeah. It's, and honestly, even if, you know, we talk about trying to get the last player in a tier, whether you are drafting in a standard draft or in the auction, there's no need to move up for that player at the bottom of a tier because the next tier isn't really all that far off, talent wise and potential wise. And, if you're trying to bid for the bottom of a tier, I mean, just kind of, it's one of those things where, yeah, you get your guy and don't really over invest anything in any particular player. If you miss an entire tier, no big deal. The next one coming up is going to be a little bit cheaper and not that far off, you know, as far as abilities. So it's just kind of a blah class. Like, there's good players, but it's just, I feel like running backs overall went to good spots, and receivers are just kind of, DJ Moore went to the best situation as far as, like, NFL, get on the field now. And everybody else just, eh. Gallup is going to be on the field, probably. There's just, I don't know, ugh. It's just rough.
Yeah, so here, I'll just fire off this super flex draft real quick. So, here's the first two rounds. Barkley, Rosen, Geis, Lamar, Rojo, Mayfield 106, Darnold 107, Chubb 108, Allen, Freeman, Michelle, Rashad Penny 112, Kerryon 113. So now we got the second round. Kirk, DJ Moore, Sutton, Ridley 204, Washington 205, Gallup, Miller. Now that's kind of where the tier break ends, in my opinion. So now at 208, it went Ballage, 209, Goddard, 210, Gesicki. Then that 211 pick that I mentioned I traded was Pettis. He traded up for Pettis. So then 212 was Rudolph. So that's the first two rounds in the Super Flex draft. One pick that I liked in the third round was Nyheim Hines. He's a guy that I don't mind in the late second. I think he could be a good flip potential. He could show a little bit. I don't know if Marlon Mack's the guy by any means. Our boy ESB, he got reached for a little bit. He went 303. I was hoping he'd fall to me in 311, but no such luck. So the third round, it gets to be kind of, you know, pick your flavor. Like you said, there's some guys with talent and could maybe be a reliable contributor, wide receiver three, but, you know, it's the Deshaun Hamiltons, the Deion Kings, DJ Charks, Kiki Cutie, who's a guy that I don't mind in the third round. You know, he could bust, he could turn into nothing, or he could turn into a reliable flip kind of guy. So I think one of the moves you might want to make this year before your rookie draft starts is try to trade up, try to trade your late seconds and your third round picks into early seconds. Give your later picks and a piece that doesn't matter to you and try to get up into the early second. There's some decent value there, I think.
Yeah, and at least if you do that, you can kind of pick your guy instead of waiting for someone to fall to you. I mean, if you're at a 206 and you can't get up, I mean, I'm totally fine with letting the board fall to me. They're all basically the same to me. I don't feel like there is a player this year that I kind of look at and I'm like, that's my guy. That's who I'm going after. I'm going to plant my flag on that hill and, you know, this player, I'm either going to live or die by. It's just whoever I can get at my spot. Super flex wise, I'm going to go after Josh Allen because he's the last quarterback of those top five being drafted and he's the cheapest. But I definitely do like Baker Mayfield and Lamar Jackson a far bit better than him. But I think he's the only real value that for me that I'm seeing. You know, Ronald Jones and Royce Freeman, I like them a lot, but they're going to have to fall to me. I'm not going to go out and target them. But like Charlie said, if I can move from the back of the second where it goes to total crap up into the top of the second, I'm happy to do that. I'm even happy to trade back again after I do that if, you know, there's five or six guys there that I think are all basically the same. I think in a few years, I mean, obviously there's going to be some players that we look back on and we're like, yeah, they turned out really nice. They're solid contributors. There's probably going to be somebody who does become a wide receiver one. That happens basically every year. It's just this year, I don't think anybody really has a clue who it's going to be. There's nobody that I'm willing to bet a paycheck on. But overall, I think we're going to look back and be like, yeah, a lot of solid second round picks, but nobody that really jumps off the screen at us. The tight ends, especially, ugh, ugly. Mike Gesicki has a good opportunity to get on the field, but even at the tight end position in Miami, getting on the field doesn't really mean too much. Dallas Goedert, really wish he'd have gone somewhere better. Everybody else, it's just blah. I wish that we were already in the regular season now. I'm already over this rookie class.
It's something we talk about kind of every year, but, you know, this might be a really good year, whereas if you're sitting in that early second spot and you're looking at the DJ Moore, Calvin Ridley choice, but you don't really need a receiver, and it's kind of like, yeah, I can stash them and maybe they turn out. Maybe this is a spot where you want to take a 19 first.
Yeah.
Right? That's a real nice potential. And it's appealing to the person. I mean, you know, they might need a receiver. So Calvin Ridley, DJ Moore is appealing, right? It's a young guy in a good situation at the top of this draft class. So they might be willing. There's lots of people that like to spend their future first for talent now or whatever. So I would definitely be looking at doing that. There's some really nice talent next year, especially at receiver. So yeah, turn that 204 into even a mid to late first next year. That's a nice win.
Yeah. Check your league mates' Twitter feed. See who they're talking about. If you see a certain guy that's got, you know, Kirk coming up a lot, maybe see if you've got a pick that's in that Kirk range, and keep in mind that if he's on the board when you come up, maybe you can get that guy's first for him. If you know that there's a guy that just loves making picks, go ahead and be like, hey, I'll give you my second for next year's one. And if he really loves picks and you got to throw in a third or a fourth to get it done, might as well. I do like having multiple second round picks this year, but I'm not giving up assets really to get those. If I already have the picks, cool, I'll make them. But I'm not trading off players I like for this class. It just, I'm just looking at the receivers right now. It just,
no, there's,
what could have been? It just, it's just not
above
great.
This year's receivers, you know? And I think if you were an astute dynasty mind, you've been planning for this. You know, you're always a year or two ahead, just like I just mentioned. Next year's receiver class, well, maybe not speedsters. There's a lot of big body, crazy skill guys.
There's some red zone targets.
Yeah, exactly. So you need to be planning a year ahead. We knew 2 years ago that this was a really great running back class coming up. We're already kind of thinking that next year's running back class isn't real good. There's one or two names, but other than that, it might not be very strong. It might be like this year's receiver class. So you always want to be a year ahead. You don't want to be playing catch up. You want to be ahead of the curve. So if you don't need a receiver, don't take the guy just because he's there, just because, well, he was number two drafted receiver in this class and he's sitting there at 203. So, you know, I'll take him. Why? Get better value. Roll it forward, you know?
Yeah, I would say definitely do not trade 2019 firsts for this class, unless you're getting Barkley or Geis, who we both really like a lot. Actually, you've got Geis at 5, so maybe... I would trade a next year one for Barkley or Geis. There's nobody else that I really feel like I would get involved with.
I typically don't trade future firsts.
I don't prefer to either, but I think...
especially not today. They're at their lowest value right now, more or less. I'm trying to acquire them now, but I very rarely sell my future firsts.
Yeah. I guess if I really, really get down to it, Barkley. If I've got a trade, you know... I mean, his price is so high, but if I find somebody who's willing to take, you know, my current first rounder and next year's one to get Barkley, I probably would do it. But I also don't think anybody is going to take that. I mean, that's Barkley's value is just off the freaking charts.
Oh, I got an offer for Barkley, my first one of the year, and it made my eyes hurt.
Sour was it?
Oh my gosh. If I recall correctly, I might be able to find it in a hurry, but I think it was Mike Evans, Devontae Adams, my 103, and my 19 first for the 101.
I think I just pooped myself. It was so bad.
Yeah. I was like, okay, no. I appreciate it, but no, that's just a bit much.
Yeah, I had a let me see if I can find it. In one of my leagues, I saw a 101 trade go down this week. Here we go. This year's 104 and 113, which is a compensatory pick, goes to the Toilet Bowl winner. So it's a 12-team league. So 104 and 113, or 201, and 309 for 101 and 501. Mm-hmm. In a normal year where the 101 isn't a first-round startup pick, that's an okay trade. That's fine. It's not crazy value, but it's fine. Based on the other things that we've seen, the other trades for Barkley, I could not believe it. Holy cow. Like, I don't want to speak poorly of the guy who traded away the 101, but Like, I couldn't believe he let it go for so cheap. I instantly was like, damn, I wish I was sending him offers. Because I have 103 or 4 and 111. It's like, my offer would have been better than that.
I actually had that scenario. So yeah, no, the offer was Evans, Adams, and my 103 for his 101. It didn't have the 19 first, but still.
Yeah, but it's 103 or 105 that I have. Sorry, 104 was already used. I'm pretty sure I have 103.
In another league, though, there was that exact scenario where a Barkley trade happened, Superflex league, and I was talking to the guy. I was trying to get something going, and then he one of those situations where he makes a trade with somebody else. And if I recall, he basically got, it's a Superflex league, and I think he got Cam Newton and 106 for the 101, more or less. So, I mean, he did all right, but I think I probably could have been in the same kind of range, but never got the opportunity.
Yeah. So, yeah, basically this rookie class is just not super great. If you've got rookie money in your auction, and you can get a lot of guys, potentially, I don't know. There just isn't a lot to say. We've spent a lot of time saying that there isn't much to say about these guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it is, though. There's a need to get your guy or try to move for other value. I think this is a good year where, like I said, Chris Godwin for 211, something like that. Don't be afraid to make those kind of deals. Look for a guy that you like and be happy with it rather than I'm on the clock. I got to make a pick. I guess this guy. You'll probably regret that down the road. So try to find a way that you're going to be happy with the equity.
All right, real quick, for these multi-copy leagues, based on what we saw in Pigs 3, who's a quarterback, running back, and wide receiver that you are looking to target based on values? We'll skip the tight end position because we both know it's shit.
For rookies? One of each of the rookies that I'm looking to target?
Yeah.
I guess running back, I'll take Nyheim Hines, like I mentioned. In the once it drops off there in the mid-second, he's usually still there.
Let's go like based on like auction values.
As in what somebody that you're going to look for on the last couple days with just a few bucks sort of thing?
I guess guys that are going cheaper than you think they should, you know, whether that's a top tier guy or mid or lower tier.
Oh, okay. Well, I think I saw that in our Pigs auction, I felt that James Washington went for a pretty respectable value. I think most of his copies were kind of $20 to $25. And yep. I was really willing to be in there for one of those. But then unfortunately I had to go higher than I wanted to on Rojo, and that killed my receiver budget that way. But I took home my guy, but I thought he was a nice little value at that 20 to 25 range, especially when guys like Christian Kirk were going for 60, 70 fairly consistently. Sutton was going for kind of the 50 range consistently. So I like James Washington. I think Pittsburgh's a nice landing spot. I think he's going to get the work there. Like, they've shown they can handle three receivers. So for $20, you know, and I showed that he's going in like the 204-5 range in drafts, I think he might be the guy to kind of target.
Okay, yeah. Washington, I thought, was a good value. Dante Pettis and Anthony Miller, they had multiple copies that went for lower than Washington and significantly lower than the wide receivers above him. I think they were good targets. Unfortunately, the guy that we both really love, EQ, he went for more than I was willing to spend on him. So
yeah, me too.
He's still sitting in that, you know, bottom of the second tier of receivers, where I feel like he kind of, where I want him is in that tier three. Rashad Penny, surprisingly, I think went a lot cheaper than I really kind of thought he would. A lot of people are talking about him as the second or third running back in this class, and he had copies going. So he had his copies went for 140, 145, 140. Then his final copy went really late when people were kind of scrambling. It went for 200. But those 140 and 145 copies went for, I mean, that was a running back 6, 7, 8 range. So I think Penny was a surprising value. And then Josh Allen, nobody likes him, so he was the cheapest quarterback. But Lamar Jackson went for pretty cheap. There were some copies of Sam Darnold that went for just dirt cheap. So even in Superflex, you can kind of let the other owners pick their QB and take what's left over as long as you feel like you're pretty comfortable with 2, 3, 4 of those guys. Ridley was another good receiver value, I think. I think if you average all the values, he's probably the wide receiver 5 or 6 after this auction, which is super low, if you ask me.
Yeah, because you're not going to get him in a rookie draft as the 5th or 6th receiver off the board. He's going to go as the 1st or 2nd.
Yeah. All right. So what do we got left today?
Well, we got a listener question that we can touch on a little bit, and I got a little clarification. So the FF Juggernaut, he's wondering about auction values in relation to redraft and dynasty and stuff like that. And what he sort of means by that is if you deal with the sites like ESPN and Yahoo and stuff, you usually have like a $200 budget. So there's values based on that $200 budget that those kind of sites use and stuff like that. But he's a little more interested in dynasty values, which there really isn't any kind of a chart for, if you will. And a big reason for that, in my opinion, is because every dynasty is different. Everyone has a different budget, different parameters. So I think my answer to that would be you base your values on budgets. Like we talked about, we set up our budgets regardless if it's a startup auction, a rookie auction. We look for the player's values and then we dictate what that position's worth and we create a budget that way. It's not just cutting a line like $200, $400, $1,000 because those change. So it's more about a budget and a percentage of that budget. So, for example, in the pigs, we both said you were 350, 360, whatever. I was 395. And we both knew we were taking home 1 or 2 solid running backs. So essentially, we were right away committing probably 90% of our budget to that. And we understood that. And that's why I spent 375, which is, what, 90% or something, on Rojo and Chubb. And you spent, what was your percentage roughly?
I'm right around the... I'm probably at 85%, about 85%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I think you need to do, Juggernaut. You need to base it on budgets. So you look at your dynasty, you look at your parameters, and you say, this is how much I have. Maybe this is how much everybody else has. If you want to start breaking down spreadsheets and doing some of that kind of stuff, you can see what percentage of the overall cash on the table is yours. Things like that. That's how you base your values, I think, is the best way to go about it.
Yep, I actually ended up at 75%, and if I would have been a little bit more committed, I could have turned one of my Ronald Jones copy into a Darius Geis, which I would have been really happy with. But, you know, whatever. I needed a QB as well, so Popeye it is.
There you go. So yeah, I think that's about it for a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
It's getting bright and sunny, and Mother's Day breakfast is calling, and it's been good hanging out, good chatting.
Yeah, got another, somebody mentioned something about auction values. I think I actually got this idea off of Juggernaut, when he tweeted us that. I think I'm going to put together a few, rookie auction mocks on MFL. So I'll be tweeting out some stuff. Actually, by the time you're hearing this, they are probably already going on because we still have, as of we're recording this, we have part 2 of our rookie rankings that I'm going to set up to go off tomorrow. And then you'll be hearing this episode. If you're hearing it on the 20th, it means I put it up way too late. So, this is probably going up around the 16th or 17th. So by then, hopefully these are going in full effect. So, it is really difficult to get an auction mock to go off because it's just so time consuming. It's not like a regular mock where you just log on, set your pre-draft picks, log on the next day, do it again. Like, it's a little bit more involved. So we're going to see if we can get some of these to go off. We might even do some IDP ones if we can find enough degenerates. So we'll talk about that on a future episode. But other than that, I don't really have a... can't think of anything else that's really going on. We'll probably have a... see if we can get our dude, the FF Ghost, on to talk about fads here once things slow down with him.
The Ghost just got out the orange juice. Post-draft report. So check that out. You know, Ghost puts an amazing amount of work. He starts on this way back in the fall, and he's working hard for months and months and months.
And on top of that, not only is he putting in all that work, but he's just a really solid, good dude on top of that. So type of guy that I want to help support.
Yeah, he's always there for you. You may not see him. He's not as vocal as a lot of the guys, but if you reach out to him, he will never let you down. He doesn't always just, you don't see him that much, just kind of posting or rambling, if you will, like some guys do, but he'll always, you know, follow you back and answer your questions and help you out. He's got amazing league and commission knowledge. I don't even know how many leagues the guy commissions. So,
too many.
You know, if you have commish questions or IDP questions, he's a great resource and he's always there to help guys.
Yeah, he's a great guy. Let's see, what else? I guess the only other thing is you and I have been talking about this league that we're working on for the last couple months. So we'll be sending out some stuff about that. I tweeted some stuff about it. It's a total dirty scumbag league. Multiple copies. It'll be a fun one. We'll probably talk about that on a future episode, too.
Yeah, we got a couple episodes. We're going to have one episode about that league, and we'll talk about that. And then we're going to have an IDP-based episode here pretty quick. Maybe get a guest on or something and get some IDP focus, since, you know, we both love our IDP.
Maybe we could get Tom DeGenerate on. I don't know. He's a busy dude, but we both love him.
Yeah, he's very, very knowledgeable and puts out amazing work.
Yeah, so we've got some stuff coming up. So we'll talk about that league. We'll talk about some average auction values for rookies, if we can get those to go off and finish quickly enough. We'll talk about some specific rookie auction strategies based on, you know, are you rebuilding? Do you need a top-end player? And that actually will tie in really well with the rookie auction stuff. And we'll try and get these done as quickly as we can, because we know end of May, I think, is when rookie drafts really get thick and a lot of them are going off. So we'll try and get that stuff out yet this month. You know, we've been busy enough that we're recording on a Sunday morning. So, you know,
Hard to find enough hours in the day.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, send us off.
It's been good. We want to thank everybody. We appreciate you guys giving us a chance and listening to our ramblings and stuff and helping grow with us. That's important. You know, we appreciate your support, your questions and ideas. It just challenges us more to make it better and better. So thank you for hanging out with us. Again, if you want to follow me on Twitter, it's CoolHandCP3. And my man Bonner Fett here. Zach, what's your handle?
It's Bonner Fett with two Fs. And you can follow the podcast at Auction Pod.
You bet. So give us a follow and a listen. And thank you very much, everybody. Have a wonderful Sunday. Enjoy your Mother's Day. Give your mother.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the moms.
Give them lots of love today. They're the most important people in this world. So have a great day and be kind. Be well.